Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is the day that the church historically celebrates the transfiguration of our Lord. And while I do fully intend to get to that, I want to talk about our Old Testament lesson first. You see, Jesus shines bright like the sun. His clothes become white as light. The reason for that is because he manifests his glory. Jesus is not only 100% man, but he is also 100% God. And as such, he has the full glory of God. This is not the first time that God would manifest his glory. In our Old Testament lesson, we see God's glory in a bush. Here, the bush appears to be on fire, and it is, and yet the fire does not consume it. This is where God calls Moses to be his instrument. And Moses does everything he can to try to get out of it. He says, "Lord, I have a stutter. Surely I can't go and speak." God says, "Moses, I will send your brother with you to help you." Moses says, "Lord, what if I go and I say, well, I don't know your name, and how are they going to believe me?" And so the Lord gives him his name. He says, "I am who I am has sent you." God's holy name, Yahweh, as he reveals it in his Old Testament scriptures. Yahweh, I am, a name that is above all names. God's name is intended to be used, to be called upon in every trouble, to pray, praise, and give thanks. And yet we and our world throw it around like it means nothing. God's name is constantly taken in vain. It is constantly used. It is constantly thrown around in movies, in television, and in the pub. Yes, his name is abused and misused left or right, and even by some Christians. We should be thankful that God has revealed his name, that he has placed his name upon each and every one of us in the waters of holy baptism. We should be thankful that he even lets us call out to him and that he hears us. God tells Moses that it is time. It is time to deliver his people. He has heard their cries for his mercy. He has seen their oppression. For 400 years they had lived in Egypt. And the time had now come where God would deliver them. 400 years is a long time for us. It is much more than any of our lifespans will be. And so for them it might have felt like eternity and God wasn't hearing them. But in his proper time, he acted. He sends Moses as his instrument to deliver his own people. Moses. Moses would also be the man by which God would give his law to his people. High on a mount again, God would deliver them on two stone tablets. Laws that his people were to live by. Laws for people called to be his children. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Old Testament were written by his hand, and yet they are not only his words, they are God's words. And so Moses would come back again in our gospel lesson for today. Moses would be present as Jesus is high on this mountain with his three disciples of his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, his three most beloved, his best friends. Here Moses would appear. Jesus would shine brightly and Moses would appear to speak with Jesus. And there was a second man on that mountain that day, Elijah. Elijah should sound familiar to you because Elijah was a man who had never died. In fact, God delivered him from death. He sent a chariot of fire to carry Elijah to himself in heaven. And so on this mountain, we have Jesus shining bright as the sun, Moses the lawgiver, and Elijah the prophet. This should tell us something. Why Moses? Why Elijah? God is showing that in Jesus, he is fulfilling all things. Through Moses, he is fulfilling the law. Through Elijah, he is fulfilling what is written of him in the prophets. And so Peter, always quicker to speak than he is to think, shouts out, "Lord, it's good to be here." And he's right. But then he wants it to continue. He says, "Let me make three tents or tabernacles. Let's make one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And while he is still speaking, a cloud covers them, and the Father speaks out in a booming voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The same voice that had echoed at the baptism of our Lord, which we celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, now adds the words, "Hear him," or "listen to him." We would do well to follow these words. We would do well to be God's children, listening to what he desires for our lives. We might say, "Lord, why can't we be like them? Why can't we see Jesus manifesting his glory today? You know, Lord, if only we could have been on that mountain, maybe we would believe better. Maybe we could convince our society to believe more." But the fact is that the Lord still shines his glory. Maybe not on the mountaintop, as is experienced here. Maybe not specifically in a person shining bright as the sun. But his glory is revealed to you this very day. This very day. As you are gathered in the Lord's house, you will hear his word proclaimed to you, his glory shown through his word, read and preached. Whenever a person is baptized in that water, God's glory joins to the water, that it is a baptism, that that person may be adopted into the holy family of God. God's glory is shown that even though we don't deserve it, every time a pastor announces holy absolution to you, your sins are forgiven before God in heaven. His glory is shown in that when we take this bread and wine from this altar, he will shine brightly on it. For he joins himself through his word to that bread. No longer only bread, but also the body of Christ. He joins himself to that wine, no longer only wine, but the blood of Christ. That what you eat and what you drink is the full glory of God for the forgiveness of your sins. The light of Christ is given to you in this dwelling place. And that light is to shine through you each and every day of your life. In our introit, we read, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Yeah, the world wants you out there with them. The world doesn't want you here this morning. The devil doesn't want you here this morning, and your own sinful flesh doesn't want you here this morning. But God does. He desires you to be in his dwelling place, that his glory may shine bright on you, in you, and through you. The glory of God dwells in each one of you. You are the light of Christ, a light revealed to the world. You bear the name Christian, that those may see you, may see Christ. When you are in action out there in the world, the way you speak to others, that is how they say Jesus. A day in this house is better than any other place. People would pay thousands of dollars to go see a bunch of grown men play a boys' game. And yet here we have it, a glory of God, much higher than any game that is played. Even if the gladiators were playing, this is the best place to be, for this is where God reveals his glory. His glory was revealed through pastors of all times. To St. Timothy, a man whose faith we celebrate today, a man who was given faith even without a God-fearing father. For his father was a pagan, and yet God used his mother, Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice, to give him the faith. Timothy would be an instrument of God to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments, the same instrument that he has called me and he had called Pastor Bischoff in his life as well. St. Timothy is the one who receives the letter from St. Paul that indicates that all of the scriptures are actually breathed out by the Holy Spirit. Of all the books in all the world, the scriptures contain no error because they are God's words, written by men, but given by God. Peter writes this in his own testament. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of it. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And to St. Timothy, Paul, inspired by the same Spirit, wrote that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. God's Word is the most important thing that you can be in each and every day. In his house, where his light shines. In your own houses, where his light may shine through you. No matter how dark of a winter we might be facing, God's light shines bright. We remember Pastor Bischoff this day too. A man that God had used as his own instrument. A man who stood in this pulpit year after year and proclaimed the word of God. The law as given by the hand of Moses, and the gospel as well. A man who was used to baptize countless babies and adults. A man who professed that you have the forgiveness of sins. A man who gave you the body and blood of Jesus week after week. And I think we should remember him as this instrument of God. And we're also reminded that we don't know when that time will come. We have no idea. God alone does. And so we follow his will for our lives. Time is short on this earth. Spend it wisely. Be with those that you love. Spend time rejoicing with others. Spend time reconciling with others. Because the Lord could call you at any minute. And until that day, be an example, most importantly, of Jesus. Share that message of Jesus. That your family may feel the touch of God in everything that you say and you do, as he did through Pastor Bischoff. And keep in mind these words from our verse of the month. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live another minute on this earth is Christ. That means that every minute that I am alive here on earth, I am able to share Jesus with others. But I also know that for me to die is gain. Pastor Bischoff is much better off than any of us are. Because he has been taken out of this valley of sorrows, he is now with Christ, his Lord, for eternity. He has received the eternal gains that God has won for him. For me to live is Christ. Be an example. But to die is gain. So the church sings these alleluias. Today we will pack it away until Easter. Remembering the resurrection of our Lord. And the church also sings, for me to live is Jesus, to die is gain for me. So when my Savior pleases, I meet death willingly. And so to thee still cleaving, when death shall come to me, I fall asleep believing and wake in heaven with thee. Amen. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.